You're going to enjoy this. If you're good at 19th century English, and if you're not, you might have difficulty understanding this little reading. We're not starting off in... I've got it somewhere on one of these bits of paper. Here we are. Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn. By the way, do you anybody not know the story of Ruth and Boaz? I say that so I don't have to tell the story. That's fine. That's good. Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn. That's from Ruth chapter 2. Downcast and troubled Christian, come and glean today in the broad field of promise. This, for those who haven't recognized it, is Spurgeon writing. If you don't know who Spurgeon was, shame on you. I'll have a word with your pastor at some point. Downcast and troubled Christian, here are abundance of precious promises which exactly meet thy wants. Take this one. He will not break the bruised reed, nor quench the smoking flax. Doth not that suit thy case? A reed, helpless, insignificant, and weak. A bruised reed, out of which no music can come. They used to use the reeds for making little flutes. Yeah? Weaker than weakness itself, a reed. And that reed, bruised. And yet, he will not break thee, but on the contrary, will restore and strengthen thee. Thou art like the smoking flax. No light, no warmth can come from thee, but he will not quench thee. He will blow with his sweet breath of mercy till he fans thee into flame. Wouldst thou glean another ear? Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What soft words. Thy heart is tender, and the Master knows it, and therefore he speaketh so gently to thee. Wilt thou not obey him and come to him even now? Take another ear of corn. Fear not, I will help thee, says the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. How canst thou fear with such a wonderful assurance as this? Now, thou mayest gather 10,000 such golden ears as these. I've blotted out thy sins like a cloud, and like a thick cloud thy transgressions. Or this. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Or this. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who's athirst, come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Our master's field is very rich. Behold the handfuls. See, there they lie before thee, poor, timid believer. Gather them up, make them thine own, for Jesus bids thee take them. Be not afraid, only believe. Grasp these sweet promises. Thresh them out by meditation and feed on them with joy. That's probably enough sermon already, isn't it? Shall we go home and just meditate on those? Well, it's translated is. Yeah. Great promises of God there in God's word for us, his people, to take hold of. But they're no good just as grains. They've got to be chewed over, digested, and taken for ourselves, deep into our souls, so that there they can feed us and satisfy us, so we can grow as his people. So that if we are a broken, a bent, bruised reed, he can restore us. If we are weak and weary, he can strengthen us. If we're hungry and thirsty, he can satisfy us. I wonder if any of us tonight are feeling condemned, or fearful, or weak, or bruised, or downcast, or just disappointed, or troubled, or worried. Or, you know, the Israelites in the wilderness, they were hungry, and we all know what they did. They grumbled. Yeah, they grumbled and moaned. But even though they were grumbling and moaning at God, still God heard them, and he sent them manna, and he said, gather and eat. And the God who heard the Israelites hears us too tonight. He knows the cries of our hearts. I wonder what our cries are tonight. Because whatever they are, there are gleanings for you in God's word. And God gleanings. You know, Ruth went out gleaning in the field and got a little apron full. And at the end of a hard day's labor, Boaz comes along and gives her 6 measures of gleanings. More than she could have picked in I don't know how long. Just poured out into her apron or whatever she was carrying it in, so she could take it home. Lovely picture of God. But when God does it for us, after we've spent time just struggling, back aching, striving to receive some promise from God, and oh, it's such hard work sometimes, isn't it? And then God comes along and pours his grain into our laps, into our hearts, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And we go away satisfied. What a great God we've got. What a great God. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So if we're groaning or mumbling or bent or broken or feeble or afraid or discontented or whatever, just come tonight and enter the field. The problem is, which field to enter? Which field to glean in? Which gates to go through? And that's why we've got this reading from John. John chapter 10, starting to read somewhere at verse 6. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they didn't understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate, or the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. There's a promise. He will come in and go out, and he will find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it just a little bit. To the full. To the full. You see in Timothy that God has given us all things richly to enjoy. Yeah. Even sermons. Yeah. Maybe. And then the top line is missing. Something about the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, yes. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. They're not safe. But I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. That's how much he cares for us tonight. And well, the sheep that are not of this sheep pen, I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. There shall be one flock and one shepherd. You spot the promises there. Yeah. I am the door, the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Not might be. Not could be. Not if they're good or keep themselves clean or don't get weevils or foot rot or whatever else sheep get. Now, they will be saved. And not only that, they'll come in and go out and find pasture. So my sheep won't be starved. They won't go hungry. But there are no gleanings. There's no pasture for the Lord's flock. Unless, first of all, they're part of his field. The first question we've got to check out on ourselves tonight. Have we passed through the gate? Because that's where we start. Is Jesus our shepherd? Are we in the sheepfold of the flock of the kingdom of heaven? Every day, going in and out to find pasture. Like Ruth. Going into the fields of Boaz every day. Because Boaz said, come on, use my fields every day. Don't go anywhere else. Pick in my fields, because there you'll find good grain. Well, for Jesus. Oh, I'm picking Jesus' grain, pasture. Not just until the end of the barley and wheat harvest. But as long as breath holds out. Are we part of his flock, enjoying his pasture today? Have we enjoyed his pasture this past week? Are we full and satisfied, sitting down in the field tonight and just munching? You see the sheep going down, haven't you? We often see them down by us. Just because they're content, because they've had all they need, and they can just sit down, or lay down, and munch. That's our God, what he wants for us. It's no use, you see, of saying, well, yeah, we passed through the gate and gleaned and were satisfied 60 years ago. Not there's anybody here who would have said that. 40 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years. No, it's yesterday's pasture is no good for today. Yesterday's manna was no good for the Israelites the following day. It became all maggoty. I mean, if you like Chinese, you might like eating maggots. I don't know, but I prefer fresh grass. Well, not literally, but... Fresh manna, every day. Pick it every day. Are we enjoying today's manna today? Or are we hoping that yesterday's will satisfy until we've time to go and pick some more because we've got so many other things to do? Are we today letting Jesus be the shepherd of our lives, the great shepherd? So that he's shepherd not just in name, yes, Jesus is my shepherd, but in truth, in actuality, as Ozzy Chambers likes to say, in actuality. Don't quite know what it means, but it sounds good. And don't ask me to spell it. Jesus, our shepherd, in actuality, feeding on him, really, today, and not just being empty words. You know, if you're feeling a bit hungry today and you think, well, no, I haven't been doing that. Well, look, just forget about listening to me. And just in the quietness of your own heart, just say, oh, Lord, sorry, I've not been gleaning day by day. And I'm a bit hungry and it's my own silly fault. Please help me to start gleaning every day so that you truly are my shepherd each day. And of course, his promise is, if we do that, then you will be saved. Saved from starvation. Yeah. Saved from whatever it is that you're needing. Saved from spiritual hunger. Saved from thirst. Saved from the cares of the world. Saved from heavy loads being put upon us. Saved from carrying guilt, whatever it might be. And then, of course, go in and out. Find pasture. Led by the good shepherd. You know, the good shepherd who leads by still waters, who makes us graze in green pastures. That's because it's always raining. Yeah. Green pastures. Restoring your soul with a safe sheepfold for the dark times. Somewhere to go back to and be safe. That's God's plan for us. That's one of the gleanings we can take hold of tonight. Going in and out, finding pasture, led by the good shepherd. You know, in Ezekiel 34, he says, I will feed them in a good pasture. Upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I don't know what a fat pasture is for a sheep, but I can imagine. It's one that's nice and green and lush, a bit like our lawn after 2 weeks of rain. Fat pasture, needing a good cut. What a gleaning, what a promise. Let's take that one and grind it fine. Let's mix it into dough and let it rise. Bake it well. Ooh, I can smell it now. And then eat fresh bread from the bread of life. But here's another field to glean in. Have you gleaned in Revelation 3 recently? Revelation 3:14. This is not on the screen. It says, the church of Laodicea, Revelation 3:14-22. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You're neither hot, cold, nor hot. Would that you're either cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I'm rich. I've prospered. I need nothing. Not realizing that you're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind and naked. What a state to be in. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich. White garments so that you may clothe yourselves and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. And salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. That doesn't go down well these days, does it? Those whom I love, I hug, give a good kiss, to, yeah, box of chocolates. No, no, no. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is the verse we know, of course. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and eat with him and he with me. The one who's zealous and repents from being lukewarm, the one who conquers, I'll grant him to sit with me on my throne as I also conquered. Thank you for that reading from Philippians. as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. There's nothing there saying it's going to be easy doing all this gleaning. But to him who conquers gets to sit on the Father's throne. He who's got an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What another bit of gleaning there. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and eat with him and he with me. Have you got the grains there, not just one? Jesus, not just a shepherd for straying sheep, but the Lord of glory as an honored guest in our lives. Standing at the door of Tia Garn saying, can I come in? And I think, oh, what a mess this house is. Can't really let the King of Glory in. I'm sure you've had that with friends calling when you weren't expecting them. You know, you're like, oh, heck. Oh, dear, what are we going to do with all that dust and cobwebs? But I know you keep your houses perfectly clean. Yeah. It's just us folks that, from these out-of-the-way villages that don't, you know. An honoured guest. And an honoured guest. You know, I said about the Israelites grumbling and still God heard them. Here, an honoured guest wanting to come into these lukewarm Laodiceans who were neither hot nor cold. They weren't that bothered whether Jesus was there or not. But he was still there knocking on the door saying, can I come in? I want to eat. I want a meal with you. I want a fellowship with you. I want to be an honest guest. I'm waiting here to join you in the inner sanctuary of your soul. Can you hear the knock? The next question is, dare we open the door? And let him in. What will he find? Let him in to sup with us, to eat with us. Oh, panic. Hang on. Hang on, Jesus, just a moment. Wait there. We're not quite ready. We've not quite got the house sorted. Remember singing that old chorus? I'll have to look at this side here. The old chorus, clean out the cobwebs, sweep out the corners. You know, from CSSM 1923 or something. We're not quite ready. But don't worry. Because Jesus is coming in to help to clean up. Yeah? He'll get hold of the back. He hasn't got a bad back. Yeah. And he'll help you clean and tidy around. He won't be worried. He enjoys doing things like that. Because he comes in to help. You know, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He's coming as a friend. Although he's Lord of glory, as a brother, he knows just what our house is like. He knows just what we are like. That's why he's standing at the door knocking, because he wants to come and give us a hand. What a great God we've got. And okay, the shelf's bare, the freezer's empty. We've got nothing to offer except yesterday's cold beef burger, a bit of old mouldy bread, and we have to get a plastic cup out because all the cups are dirty and give him some water from the tap. And as we offer these pathetic offerings to the Lord of glory, he accepts them. And he sits round the table with us, having that sweet, intimate conversation with us, hearing all our heartaches, listening to about our headaches, our belly aches, and he turns that little cup of water into a finest wine. And he takes the old beef burger and the bitter dried up pizza, blesses it and breaks it, makes it fresh, and produces a feast, a banquet, 10-course meal for us to satisfy our souls. How's your appetite doing? I hope you ate before you came. Yeah. As the deer pants for water, so my soul longs after you. And he says, I'm standing at the door knocking. I will come in. And I'll eat with you. And you'll eat with me. We'll have a great time together. Do we have time for Jesus? The trouble is, you know, it's not a fast food outlet. Jesus needs time. We need time with him just to talk, chew over things and meditate. As Mary, mother of Jesus, she pondered these things in her heart. And as a result, like David, he said, with the finest of wheat, honey from the rock, satisfied. What a gleaning for us. Table time, sitting with Jesus, fellowshipping, being satisfied like Mary and Martha. But if you carry on in Revelation 4, there's another gleaning. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard speaking was speaking to me like a trumpet. And it said, come up here, and I'll show you what must take place. Here's Jesus again. Come on up here. Come on. I've been in your house. Now you come into mine and have a look what I've got. Look what I've got to show you. And at once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven. This is the one you're going to sit on if you overcome from chapter 3. Yeah? A throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. Who can it be? Can't guess. Yeah. Someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper, not jasper carrot, of jasper and ruby, not ruby wax. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne, and surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders, and they were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. And from the throne came flashes of lightning and rumbles and peals of thunder like last night. And in front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing, and these are the seven spirits of God, and also in the center, and the four living creatures and all the rest of it. And they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And they fell down before him and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. And they laid their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things. By your will they were created and have their being. Another gleaning. The throne room. Come and see. Come into heaven. Come and have a look. Heaven stood open for John to gaze in. John struggles to find words to describe what he sees. And he sees this throne, the throne of sovereignty. You can meditate on that for the rest of the week. God is sovereign. So why do we worry so much? If he's our shepherd. Jasper. Majesty. That's what that's about. Holiness and purity. Carnelian, this next one, whatever it was. The wrath of God. Judgment. Emerald is mercy. A rainbow. The promises of God. The gleanings of God. For us all fulfilled in the great amen of Jesus. I'm just grabbing threads, which I hope we can begin to tie them together. Because there's so much and we've run out of time, so I've got to stop. But there's lots more. Day and night they were crying, worthy, worthy. So we've got lots of days and nights until he comes. Gleanings of God. Oh, let's be a people who take these gleanings, chew on them, and discover what these things mean. Delight in them and be satisfied day by day so we too can cast our crown and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You are worthy to receive all glory, honor, and power.